I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network, and I welcome Professor Paul Gregory of the Hoover Institution. He is traveling. He's in his very happy state of Texas in Houston. However, none of this changes the statistics in Paul's new piece at The Hill about a great success. I know it's not routine these days to talk about successes given the pandemic, given the economy, given the questions ahead, but this is a success. 89 million Americans, and counting more every day, have now been vaccinated and successfully averted death, averted the worst-case scenario. Paul, a very good evening to you. Averted death, that is a statistic that's new to me. What does it mean? What does it encompass? Good evening to you, Paul.
Good evening, John. I don't know if I made the term up, but I definitely use it. Averted deaths are deaths that would have occurred had something else not happened. In this case, what we're talking about is the expedited arrival of a number of vaccines which are being actively distributed throughout the United States. So in my case, the averted death concept is those who would have died had this expedited vaccine not been available. And this concept allows me to make some rather telling calculations of the benefits of the early arrival of these vaccines, because as I pointed out in an earlier piece, if you look at the expectation way back in spring of 2020, we're still a year and a half, we're supposed to be still a year and a half, 2 years, or even 3 or 4 or 5 years away from a viable vaccine. So this is a tremendous accomplishment that we have under our belts.
Paul is a professor emeritus of economics at the University of Houston, which is why statistics have such meaning, because they tell a story, a detail. I gave you the big number. 89 million Americans have been vaccinated and climbing. That's more than a quarter of the population. But critically, those 65 and older, that would be Paul and myself and others, 38 million or 71% of the most vulnerable group have now been vaccinated. Okay, a great success. And Paul, let us get into how you calculated this. In other words, every time we hear the federal government talk about the virus, we're reminded of how many Americans have died. You're now about to tell us how many Americans would have died but for the miracle, the market miracle, of the vaccine. How did you calculate it, Paul, and what are the numbers?
Well, I figured what I should do is use the simplest, the most common sense way of calculating averted deaths. So step one is who in the population is at risk of death, and the statistics tell us very clearly it's the 65 and over. So basically, that's the group one should concentrate on. By doing that, you miss a few deaths of younger people, but I thought I would go where the numbers lead me. So we have, let's round to 40 million, 65 plus, who have been vaccinated. They now live in a world where the chances of them dying from COVID are very remote. If you look at the, if you Google this matter, it's the medical community is looking very hard to find people who have died under these circumstances. So the number of people who will die among that 40 million is very low. Okay, so we now place these 40 million people in a hypothetical world, which was expected by all experts, of no vaccine. So what would happen in this hypothetical or counterfactual world as time passes? And in order to make that calculation, I took the percent of those who die from COVID, which is very low among the 65 and over, which is about 0.008 percent. So you multiply that, and you come up with a rather considerable number of averted deaths, which is 300,000. This is an underestimate because of the way I chose to calculate. I chose to calculate in a very conservative way. Just to summarize, if you do this exercise, the conclusion is that the early arrival of the vaccine, the early ramping up of production, will have saved us at a minimum 300,000 lives versus the 500,000 plus that have died from COVID.
Paul, because you are also a scholar at the German Institute for Economic Research, I mentioned to you that I've been following, as you do, the news from the continent. And what we learn incompletely from Paris, London, Berlin, Brussels, is that our allies, our close trading partners, our mother countries, have completely failed to organize their population and their experts and their politicians to deliver the vaccine. In other words, the Europeans, who are everything we are and the same trading partners, are vulnerable to those 300,000 deaths or more, Paul, because they're not vaccinating their public. They've made the public anxious about the vaccine they have, the AstraZeneca, and they willy-nilly open and shut the economy, so they're limiting the ability of people to think for themselves. It's odd that it's come to this, Paul, because all these years we've thought of Europe as organized under the EU. But I think that lesson learned here is that the Americans, having tried everything else, eventually did the right thing and were processing it. And from your calculation, Paul, there are a lot of Europeans who are going to die who could have been helped if they had organized the way we have.
Yes. What is going on in Europe is actually part of a longer process, which has gone largely unnoticed, but it is noticed by those who study the issue, and that is the United States is one of the is perhaps the only country, along with Israel, that actually pays the full cost of pharmaceutical development. If you look at pricing in U.S., Canada, Europe, etc., the United States basically pays full price, and Canada's healthcare system pays a fraction of that price, and Europe also pays a fraction of that price. So Europe, instead of aggressively pursuing drug manufacturers, guaranteeing sales, etc., this just sat back and waited for the drugs to become available in the market under normal circumstances, but these are definitely not normal circumstances. In addition to that, you have the problem of the European Union and the, whatever it is, 27 countries in the European Union, each tempted to follow its own course, and the European Union itself, under the leadership of one of Germany's top politicians, definitely did not pursue aggressively the purchase and distribution of these vaccines. So it's a story of multiple failures. And let's recall that if we go back 6 months, Europe was being held up as the example of someone who's doing it right. And it's now the reverse.
Paul Gregory, he is a professor emeritus of economics at the University of Houston, I've told you, a research fellow at the Hoover Institution, a research fellow at the German Institute for Economic Policy, writing at The Hill, averted deaths. And I'm one of them. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show.